This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, anyone know what channel the game's on?
We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, there's a saying for those of us not trained in the visual arts. Quote, I don't know art, but I know what I like. And nothing proves that mantra more than a piece of quote-unquote art going up for auction next month at Sotheby's. You see, 5 years ago, a so-called artist, he duct-taped a banana to a wall. Yep. But he was smart enough to do it at an art gallery and then sold for $120,000. Well, now Sotheby's is expecting to fetch up to $1.5 million in exchange for a banana, a roll of duct tape, instructions for how to tape a banana to your wall, and finally, a certificate of authenticity for $1.5 million. By the way, I did a quick check. A roll of duct tape, get DeWalt duct tape, good stuff. That's $11. A single banana, that retails anywhere from 26 cents to 59 cents. Or you can spend $1.5 million to prove that you are hopelessly stupid. Meanwhile, you could spend, say, $2,000 and be the proud owner of the prosthetic nose that Laurence Olivier wore in the title role of the 1955 movie Richard III. And if that's still a little too rich for your wallet, how about just spending $150 for a taxidermied rat posed as a, quote, sexy showgirl complete with fake eyelashes and nipple covers? Keep in mind, rats have six nipples. And artist Caitlin Hillis, she'll cover each and every one. She's the owner of Showtime Taxidermy. Reach out to her and she'll craft a custom sex rodent for you. And they say that dreams don't come true. Come on. Or maybe you don't want a taxidermied animal and you actually want a living, breathing, exotic animal. Well, New Jersey might be the place for you, friends. There's all kinds of animals that you can legally own there, including poison dart frogs. Good idea? No, but it's legal. And you can have one or more in your home. But that's the thing about your home. Look, we all have our own interests. And just to please ourselves, maybe there's something, I don't know, peculiar on display that people tend to ask about each and every time they come over. And that's what we want to talk about today. Today's question, quite simply, is what thing do you own that makes people ask, why do you own that?
To be a part of the Big Show, call 206-803-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live, and send those emails to themensroom at KISW.com.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
All the tells, away we go. Welcome to Season 19, Episode Number 4208. What a large and in charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat. Once again, we'll be joined by Taryn Daly and Steve Miggs from the Daily Miggs Morning Show as we sit and spin a little Halloween flavor today.
Well, like Halloween songs? What are we doing?
We have 10 characters that you might see on Halloween. In other words, oh, God. For an example, oh, God. Devil with a blue dress on.
So the devil.
Okay.
All right.
Mike's going to play us a little bit of the tune. It is up to us to figure out the character with the song that we might see on Halloween.
Okay.
Feed My Frankenstein from Alice Cooper, for an example.
Not a bad song. Stupid, but not a bad song.
Yeah, but we'll hear a little bit of the song and then try to figure out what the character is that is involved, the monster, the so to speak, the Halloween figure.
Are there any songs called Slutty Nurse? That seems to be a popular one.
That would
one.
Be a good one. Dr. Feelgood, maybe? But I think that was about a drug dealer. You know?
Zombie anything.
Well, there's a band called The Zombies, but I don't know of any zombie songs. Maybe there's one or two.
Why have nurses always been... Not that they are.
But as far as the Halloween goes?
Yeah, it's like a joke from a movie I like years ago. It's like, my mom found out I rented slutty nurses from jersey.
You know, I guess because, you know, otherwise they're just wearing scrubs and you're like,
no, that's
you...
fine. That is fine. No, that's what I was going to say.
But I don't know if you're dressed up for Halloween or if you're actually a nurse.
I don't care if you came straight from the hospital to the party.
Yeah.
Either way, scrubs, I'll take those. Those typically are, for whatever reason, I'm okay with that.
Well, they're slutty nurses, they're slutty nuns, they're slutty cops. Pretty much slutty everything, right? Name a profession.
Well, it seems to, or sexy. It seems to be part of the description on a lot of the costumes.
Yeah, they don't really say slutty. They do say sexy.
Especially for adults. So when you get into
hopefully
that realm.
For adults.
But it's not for guys.
No. I mean, how do you...
You could dress up like a Chippendale, but you're not sexy. You could be in
true.
Thunder from Down Under. You could wear the whole thing. And people go, oh my God, he's wearing a cummerbund.
Well, then they think
banana,
you're being funny.
And a banana hammer.
Right.
And
there was a pretty sexy guy. He was the naked guy from The Sims.
I don't know the naked guy from The Sims.
So he just had like a little box that was like blurred out of his junk.
I saw that. Yeah. It's a great outfit.
It is. Yeah. I was like, that's awesome.
So 10 characters you will see on Halloween coming up when we'll sit and spin. That is on the way at 4:30. What else do we have? We've got a big party Saturday up at Black Raven Brewing in Woodinville. Inviting you to join us between 4 and 8 as we try the brand new Oladeyes Porter and have our Oladeyes Porter Party, absolutely
Porter
free
party.
From
yes.
4 until 8. Stop by and try the brand new Men's Room Oladeyes Porter with notes of Grandma's famous rum balls, chocolate, vanilla, orange peel, and holiday spices.
Mike, any word from Castle on the Porter Party Porta Potty?
No, just that he's aware that that's what we want.
That's
do.
Where he left it. I'm
that's
aware
literally
that
you, I'm aware. Just,
that's what you need.
Why can't we just get a porta potty for the porta party?
Like,
there's
heard
no
that.
Better time.
And put it right in the middle of the bar.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to if you're going to go right in the middle of the dining area, you know
specifically
I mean?
For the porta party.
Black Raven can't have that in their place.
Wow.
You put it right outside.
You could put it outside.
What if it didn't have any juice in it? What if it was just an empty? Someone's going to use it a bit.
Fill it with the porter.
Yeah, that's the issue. You don't want it's. They have food trucks and beverages. You don't need a porta potty in the middle.
You don't need the blue water that the barbers put their combs in there. Just leave it empty, and you know, hopefully no one will go in there.
For the porta potty, porta potty.
Yeah. 4 until 8, Black Raven Brewery up in Woodinville, they've got one in...
Redmond.
That is not the location. We're going to be in Woodinville. So if you're in the area on Saturday afternoon from 4 to 8, please join us, try the brand new beer, and help out our friends locally at the Three Fisher Houses. That's going to be a good time, so we hope to see you up there. Today on The Question, we're going to talk about things that you own that people might ask, why do you own that? It might be something that has been handed down in your family, something that you picked up somewhere along the way. A lot of times people get some weird stuff from jobs or maybe antiquing or whatever the deal is. But either way, it could be a pet. People own some pretty strange stuff.
I would highly recommend don't make a comment about something odd on somebody's countertop or mantle.
Why not?
Because it probably has a personal reason it's there.
For an example.
I'm sure it
that's an ugly vase. That has the ashes of my grandfather.
Okay, bro.
Oh,
phrasing. It's just maybe you don't say, damn, that's ugly, this thing you put
that's
on display.
That's what I'm saying, but it happens all the time.
I mean, look, it's some people, they have ugly kids. I'm sorry. They just do, but I've never thought, like, God damn, you still post that picture of your kid? There's just a way to phrase it.
Oh, you're not nearly as ugly in person.
Yeah.
Or whatever you say to the 3-year-old.
Well, the camera helps you.
Yes.
Is that through a filter?
Yeah. We will start with a story.
I like that you open with, that's an ugly vase. Because even if it wasn't sentimental, that means
an example, what is that weird vase? Is that better? But I'm just saying, like, just don't preface it. Just ask. Because if somebody's got it out on display, even if it's a Ninja Turtle toy, more than likely that guy has a reason that it's
what's
out.
What's up with that, man? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
My kid didn't put it away.
Here's a weird one.
Right.
The prosthetic schnoz that Laurence Olivier donned to play the title role in King Richard III from 1955 is so famous, it's appeared on lists of the best worst fake noses in cinematic history.
In other words, there's also a list of the best fake worst noses.
Now the costume nose is headed for the auction block next month. Who held on to this thing? I have no idea. It is part of a lot of about 350 props, awards, and other items that are being sold by the late actor's estate and his widow, fellow actor Dame Joan Plowright. What a great
Plowright
name
for
Mrs. Plowright. God, I love you. The prominent prosthetic comes in a box accompanied by a note that does indicate that Olivier may have received it as an 80th birthday gift from one of the film's makeup artists. Dear Larry, we have both made 80. Happy birthday. Here's the first nose we used in Spain. Remember, you would not shoot on the 13th. The costume accessory is, believe it or not, expected to fetch early bidding is
$2,000. $2,000.
Yeah. All right. I wanted to look like the most evil thing there was, he said of the prosthetic in the mid-1980s book on acting. Other items in the auction include the crown props he wore during his various Shakespearean performances, the Golden Globe he won for Hamlet in 1948. There's a bunch of stuff on there that will go up for auction. But the nose itself, the prosthetic nose, the opening bid is $2,000.
You have to be a serious movie buff or Laurence Olivier fan. Right, yeah. The movie itself came out in 1955. It's Laurence Olivier, who I know by name, but I don't know that I've seen him perform anything. So, like, if I brought it home, even with my wife, you know, she'd be like, yes, I've heard of him too. No, neither of us have seen the movies. Right. My kids would be like, so it's just some old man's fake nose. Like, well, yeah, guys. I mean,
that was actually, I mean, in all honesty, I know the food sucked and the service wasn't the greatest thing in the world, but if you ever walked into a Planet Hollywood back in the day, they would have a lot of the props that Arnold and Sylvester and some of the investors would bring in. Some of their famous, like, even if it's just the trunks of Apollo Creed.
Sure, but that made sense because you know, knew who they were.
Something from Conan the Barbarian. Yeah,
but it was more modern. You know, you said, and I know who these investors are, right?
So I go, but that stuff, okay, I mean, it would be cool to own any of that stuff. I mean, just to own any kind of prop from a major film, regardless, I think would be a cool thing to have in your home. I have never seen King Richard III, and I have never watched, I don't believe ever, a Laurence Olivier movie. But
what about Spartacus?
My grandparents.
Is he in Spartacus?
He is Spartacus, isn't he?
I thought that was Michael Douglas. Or are they both in a movie? Crap.
I'm not sure.
Well,
who was Spartacus, Mike? Because they all said they were.
I was going to say, I am Spartacus.
But if you
apparently
had, like,
they all were.
If you had the hockey mask that was worn in, you know,
Halloween. Sure.
Whatever, wherever the deal is. It's a cool thing to have.
It is, but those things I feel like carry more weight. They're just more iconic, right? And obviously, Laurence Olivier, he's this noted actor. But I mean, you know the Friday the 13th mask. The nose, you're just like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, right. You're right. Kirk Douglas was Spartacus.
It was Kurt, who did I
but
say? Michael Douglas.
It. Yeah.
Okay, Kirk Douglas. He was officially Spartacus.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Caitlin Hillis, she's 36. She runs her business called Showtime Taxidermy from her home, where she sells quirky and bizarre rats for about $200 American.
Just real quick, do yourself a favor and go to ShowtimeTaxidermy.com.
The rodents are dressed and posed as clam performers. It all began during a craft night 4 years ago. She said, we watched videos online and made our first taxidermy together.
I'm on her website. I just want you to take a look. I mean, look, she puts a lot of work into these things, for sure.
I can't see it, but is it basically dinner for schmucks? Steve Carell he made these shadow boxes, these dioramas of roadkill mice.
Okay.
That he dressed up in little outfits and he posed them in little scenes and scenarios. Is that exactly what
you're doing?
It might
be
right?
That. In her case, they are specifically posed as showgirls.
Yeah.
They have pasties, but remember, rats have six nipples, so she has six pasties on each end.
Daughter and her sister got together, and they admitted it was comically bad, but we loved it. We had such a good time. So we did it again, and we made others, and the natural step was, let's make it sexy and fun and add costumes. So after posting pictures online, Caitlin realized people were not only delighted to see her creations, but they wanted to buy them, and Showtime Taxidermy was born. Since then, she's been blown away by her business popularity, selling the preserved rats online and at oddities and curiosity expos around the United States. She said, when people come up to me, they gasp or they clutch their pearls when they see what I've made and they get really excited. It blows my mind. My artwork is all over the country. I think I've got one in almost every state now. It's a really cool feeling to be weird, to do something different, and to have so many people enjoy it. That's my favorite part for sure. Now, since she was young, she said she enjoyed visiting museums, seeing the animals in real life, but she never dreamed that one day she would become a taxidermist. She previously worked as a wedding photographer, graphic designer. She thought taxidermy was too specialized and not something that you could do if you worked from home. However, when her daughter suggested they try preserving smaller animals, like rats, at a craft night, the idea for the business was formed. When people think about taxidermy, I think they mostly picture deer, game animals, fish, just to simplify it. Let's say that takes 100 steps. The rats take 20, and the process is less complicated. And because I'm doing one thing over and over again, I'm really able to hone my abilities. I started out with videos online, started practicing, and they become cuter and cuter over time. She explained she buys the rats frozen from an ethical local breeder that supplies food for zoos. Okay. And she keeps them in a large freezer she has in her home. How much do the rats cost? Frozen rat. What do you think the only market is? So before she gets going on her project.
$3.75.
Rats are $4 a piece.
All right, that was close.
But Caitlin ensures there is as little waste as possible. A friend actually uses the rat bones to make the jewelry.
$4 to get the rat from the wholesaler.
Yes.
Right, the frozen rat.
Right, her production rats cost a lot more.
Oh, yeah.
No, hey, you saw that glamorous work she's doing on those days. That ain't some small dollar stuff there.
With clay, foam, and wire, she puts the skins in borax, which is a preservative, then shapes the skins around her desired molds before letting them then solidify. She says the rat poses are inspired by acrobats, burlesque performers, and belly dancers, but tailored to suit the animal's smaller limbs, which is part of their charm. The dyeing process, or I'm sorry, the drying process is...
Damn, man, we don't need to go there.
Yeah. We know they're dead.
Well, they're frozen. 2 to 3 weeks, and she adds decorations such as colored feathers, rhinestones, velvet, fake eyelashes, even makes her own signature nipple coverings for the rats.
Yeah, you can't find those on Amazon for rats.
By the way, 6 on each animal. I'm crossing these multiple territories where people who do taxidermy like my work because it's fun and it's whimsical. And people don't necessarily like taxidermy, but they're drawn to mine because it's pretty and it's glamorous. Let's face it, if you see a dead animal's head on a wall, pretty cool, sometimes a little bit freaky, depending on where you are. But the idea of a rat rowing a boat or whatever she does, or being a burlesque dancer, that kind of changes the process. She says it takes about a month from start to finish. She completes her work in batches, meaning sometimes she has up to 100 completed rats around her home at once. I don't have a big home, so I have to stockpile. The place that I put them in is my laundry room, and I've hung dowel rods across the room so I can hang them. That's what I've got going on. I've got this tunnel to my washing machine and my dryer. Rest is just rats, basically in there. And she says, it's the coolest job in the world. I get to be creative. I get to be artistic. I get to have my own schedule. I get to interact with awesome people. I could not improve anything on this. I absolutely love it.
I mean, look, I'm glad she's happy. And if there's an audience for it, knock yourself out. I do find them funny. I would never buy one. But every time I've clicked on her website, I'm laughing. I'm like, okay, that's funny. They are funny. If someone gave me one, I'd be like, all right, cool.
I would like to have the gopher in Caddyshack, which I have a picture with.
That'd be cool.
See, like if I'm Bill Murray, or if I'm Chevy Chase, or the late Rodney Dangerfield, or the late Ted Knight, or one of these guys who starred in the movie, that would be something that, you know, I don't know how iconic they thought it was at the time to shoot that movie, but in the end...
I don't think they did.
You had to think to yourself, okay, well, where is Bruce the shark from Jaws located? Is there anywhere where that is on display? Where you could just go and see the mechanical shark?
That's a good question. I think he has it like in a warehouse or something.
But that's not good.
Like, no, I agree, but I'm saying I think he's kept it, but I don't know that it's actually on display. But yeah, you'd like to see, like, that's the shark.
Universal, you know, maybe the amusement park or whatever the deal is. I know at one point in time I was doing, when I was doing mornings in Baltimore, we had Paul Rubens on.
All right.
And Paul Rubens is the late Pee Wee Herman. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, he had in his possession... Along with, God, what was the other guy's name that did this?
Drew Carey.
Well, and there's a few of these guys. Bobcat Goldthwait, maybe? Where they collect vintage erotica.
Yeah.
Now, it's not as sexual, some of these things, as you think they are.
No, you basically just had to be naked back then, right? You know, well, the dress falling off the shoulder. That was basically porn back in the day.
He bought what they believed to be adult toys. From, you know, different eras in different times from the Romans, from the Greek.
Right.
So he would have an actual stone that had been carved and etched to look like a giant penis.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it was used for. But everything from that to early on dungeon type of, you know, clamps that you would tie somewhat up to a wall.
Yeah.
All kinds of crazy crap. And it was not good that he got busted doing what he did at the time based on the fact that he was doing a children's show. But ultimately, a lot of these films that he would go to at that one particular movie house, and he explained this, were vintage erotica films that he was actually looking to purchase from the theaters.
Okay.
It's not that he didn't masturbate in a movie theater.
Right, he did. He did.
That would probably be one of the movies he would be willing to buy.
Yeah, I think that passes muster at that point.
You know, 16 millimeter reels of, you know, black and white stuff, or, you know, early 70, late 60 erotica. He bought it all and kept it in a giant warehouse. I want to say Bobcat Goldthwait had like a 30-foot penis that was used as
a prop
in some movie that he kept stowed in a warehouse, like a storage unit, for all of his creepy crap.
Yeah.
A 30-foot penis. He pays every month to store a 30-foot penis in a warehouse.
Hey, man.
Just so he can have
He's a strange bird.
He is. Yep. He is.
By the way, Miles, the sole surviving full-scale model of the shark from Jaws is at the Academy of
Motion Pictures.
Is that what, Museum? Hollywood, I guess? I'm going to assume LA.
Whatever. But he's the fourth one and the only surviving one, so who knows what happened to the first three.
What thing do you own that makes people ask, why do you own that? 206-803.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Rock.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Follow the 5K a day. Just download the Odyssey app. Listen to us for 1 hour. Your chance to win $5,000. The app is free. It is just that easy. All right, we go to Oklahoma.
My pot was down.
After more than 2 months of searching, an Oklahoma woman's pet tortoise has been found. In late August, Sherry put her two African spur tortoises, finally named Phineas and Ferb, outside of their Piedmont, Oklahoma home, as she usually did. As she explained, she'd check on them every few hours. But she said she got stuck on the phone with a family member for a while. And by the time she was able to look, Ferb had played the shell game. The tortoise shimmered its way under an area of their fence before turning tail and taking off. From there,
breakneck speed.
Search was on. Searched everywhere. We drove around in circles, she said. Phineas and Ferb had lived with a family for nearly 4 years. In December 2020, her husband drove to Tulsa and brought the two tortoises back home. He came home with them in little mailboxes and a tank, everything I needed to get started. And when that happened, when one of the tortoises got lost, people from around Piedmont came in to help with the search. It had been 9 weeks and 4 days with fur by the time her husband noticed what he thought was a clump of grass about 100 feet into a field behind their home.
100 feet.
That is until it moved in a Ferb-like fashion. He couldn't hardly get the phone dialed to tell me about it. It was such a relief. She came home when she heard the good news, and just like that, they were reunited, and it felt so good, like peaches and herb.
Reunited.
It has long been a long, long road, and I sure did miss him. Ferb was back home and got a bath on Thursday. You won't find anyone more excited about that than the mom. I can't explain to you how good I feel. It's just a big relief.
Do you think turtles are glad, quote-unquote, to be home? You find your cat's happy to see you, even your cat. You find your dog is overwhelmingly happy to see you. But a turtle, like, you snatch it, it made it 100 feet. Does the turtle care? Is it like, well, oh, there she is, I've missed you too?
This is a tortoise. As we talk about parrots and exotic birds, the tortoise can live over 100 years.
Yeah.
So we get back to that debate. Look, if you own this pet, eventually you're going to not outlive it. So then what do you do? Who is going to take in Ferb and Phineas when you pass on? Because they will still be around.
I would take Ferb and Phineas over a parrot. I really would. If you said, look, man, I'm leaving you one of these two things when I die. Either you can take my parrot, and you got 35 years of that bad boy, or you got two tortoises. It's just me personally. I'm taking the tortoises. I don't know why.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, it feels like, too, like, you go away for the weekend. You can leave the tortoise, like, leave some food out or whatever.
Yeah, I would think.
Like, the parrot, you got to, like, watch.
Right. It does seem like a lot more maintenance for a parrot. And the tortoise possibility it talks. It's loud. It flies around. And like we said, that thing was gone for 9 weeks and 4 days. I made it 100 feet. You know what I mean? You just didn't look hard.
But people do own some weird pets.
33 and a half yards.
We've got... We've got some of the animals...
That's a running back right there. Mm-hmm.
...that you can own, and it really does depend on the state you're in.
I brought up in the setup. We're saying in New Jersey, one of the exotic animals you can own is poison dart frogs. A guy here says, my buddy used to own a bunch of poison dart frogs. He also owned a caiman. That was in Everett. So he did not have them legally, but yes,
now,
he had
a poison,
them.
Why are they named that? Do they shoot something out of their mouth that can kill bugs or whatever they're
going for? I
think
it's the one where if you touch it, it's toxic.
Oh, okay.
You know, like those blue ones you had down in like South America and all that. I believe it's one of those ones where like touching it alone is hazardous to human and pretty much any mammalian health out there. So at that point, it's one thing if it can like shoot something out of, even a venomous snake, right? It has to bite you, and it can, but it has to bite. The frog, like, if you touch it, it's an issue.
Our question, what thing do you own that makes people ask, why do you own that? 206-803-ROCK.
The caimans are kind of cool. I had a buddy that owned one.
They're kind of cool, yeah.
Right? Like, he also owned a lot of snakes, so I hated his house. But the caiman was cool to look at.
Yeah. When I'm driving in rural areas, I always look at the people who don't know what a trade-in is on a car.
Yeah.
And they have three or four in their yard. And I really do think to myself, why in the hell do you own those? Why? You're never going to fix them.
You know you're not.
They don't know that. They think they're going to get to it.
89 Ford Escort. Ted is not going to get back on the road. There's no point in saving it. Why do you still have this?
But thing? I think that's the difference. 1989 Ford Escort. Like, why would you even take the time to fix that up?
Why have you
go
not
sell
told
it for
this
scrap?
Away.
You got the 68 Camaro. I go,
that's
like,
different.
Look, I know you haven't worked on it in the 30 years that I've known you, but I understand why you would want to. So, yeah, the Ford Escort, like, dude. Sell it for scrap, if nothing else.
Look, I agree. I'm just saying, I think that's the mentality of like, well, I'm gonna work on it.
Well, true.
Kind of like January 1st. Everybody's going to be in the gym, be in great shape.
Okay, you got a new couch, right?
Half of that is true.
It's been years.
Yeah, but it's been a couple of years since you moved. You got a newer couch. In West Virginia, you take the old couch and you put that on the porch.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of the shape it's in. I mean, if you could sit down and fall all the way back into a spring... It would still be on. Don't sit on that side.
Right.
But why do you own that? And why is it on your porch? Get that to.
Because it's comfortable.
Yeah.
And you don't have to buy porch furniture if I can just take my couch and put it out front, bro. Saving money, man.
There's a thin line between the porch and the garage. On the porch, trashy. In your garage, comfortable.
Yeah, man cave.
What thing do you own that makes people ask? Why do you own that? 206-803-ROCK.
Still an old ratty couch.
Hello, Joshua. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hola.
Hola. So, I have two shrunken human heads.
You do?
All right.
Like Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Yes. Well, one's registered. The other one costs a little bit of money to get registered. But I know for a fact one was in a museum for a hot minute.
Is this like a Papua New Guinea thing? I mean, Amazon rainforest, do you know the origins of these things?
My uncle does. He's the one that usually hits me up for weird and strange oddities that he gets.
So how did he go about getting these things?
If I told you, I don't know. I got no clue. That man has come across some weird things, actually. He was the one that wound up with the missing 9/11 flag that was raised up at Ground Zero out in Everett.
Okay.
So if you don't know how we got a hold of the shrunken human heads, being that once you have human body parts, laws seem to change, how do you go about registering them?
Well, it depends on what states you're in. I think there's only four states out there that actually say, hey, you can't have human remains. Washington State, you're allowed to have human remains.
You are.
So
okay.
Register them or anything.
Can you tell the sex of the person based on, you know, is there any distinct features? I mean, long hair doesn't mean anything. So do you know if it's a male or a female?
I believe both of mine are female. Sometimes you could see, like, hair follicles for a mustache or something, depending on where they're from.
Okay. I'm assuming that your uncle...
Well, in Baltimore, that doesn't help.
Does he travel the world, or are these things that you can just acquire through the mail?
He just acquires them through people he's met. and he's come across some strange things.
All right. What does your uncle have? Where you go, why in the hell do you have that?
Well, he had the 9/11 flag. He had a collection of meteorite at one point in time.
That's cool.
Multiple human heads, like skulls and whatnot, bone fragments and stuff like that.
Is your uncle married?
He was.
What did he do for a living?
He was a landscaper.
Okay that makes complete sense. Shrunken human heads, landscaping. I see the connection.
Well, there's only, I mean, if I remember the Ripley's thing, that was kind of like, it was either an Amazon rainforest tribe that did that or Papua New Guinea thing.
I mean, there were a few, but it was like, even though you heard about the history, I did not think you could then, like, go to the Amazon rainforest and like, oh, dude, we got real shrunken human heads at the gift shop.
But there's
got
to be a process behind doing that.
Sure.
Just like anything else. So they knew the process. I've never heard of it done in any other way medically than, you know, indigenous people performing that, you know, whatever ceremony. I don't know what to even call it.
It doesn't
human taxidermy.
It doesn't really serve a purpose outside of being ceremonial. You know, so there's no medical reason. Like, hey, good news, we can help beat this thing you got. We just have to shrink your head and look like the guy from Beetlejuice.
Again, right? It's so old, right?
Yeah.
Saying like basically, if you killed the enemy, you'd shrink their head so that the spirit couldn't come after you to avenge the death.
Okay, and I track what they're going with. It's just weird that you kept it. And like, you want to buy this?
Well, things in jars, things that have been, that's where you get some weird stuff. We had a
like the science lab.
Yeah, we had a military service member.
But at least at the science lab, you go, this is a science lab. I know a girl that had her cat's uterus in a jar, and you wouldn't know what it is. You just knew it was something biological, and it's just doing that slow spin in a jar. And when we finally asked her, her name was Lily, and when we asked Lily, it was a very sweet girl. She was like, oh, it's my cat's uterus. And then like she just bounced out to get something to eat. And we're like, that is freaking weird.
I cannot remember if it was a band that went on a USO tour or it was an actual service member or veteran who at one point in time brought in a camel spider in a jar.
Yeah.
For us to check out. And now, when you see it, the pictures of them on the wall, it doesn't look nearly as big because it's all kind of curled up in the jar, but you can still see the size.
Yeah, it's a big-ass spider.
I mean, until you actually look at one, then you understand why everyone who was deployed there and never came into contact with them will never forget that encounter.
Yeah, you won't.
The thing is absolutely huge. Some things that people said that were weird that they owned. One person has a cobra in a bottle.
I've seen that before at a gift shop, not in someone's home, but I've seen that before.
Okay.
And I swear it's authentic. I don't know if it is, but I've seen the jar, seen the cobra, and it's always a cobra. It's like it's never any other snake.
I got a buddy who's got a bottle of mezcal that he's never opened up from Mexico, and it's got a tarantula inside of the bottle. Now, the bottle is still full of mezcal. The tarantula, it doesn't look dead.
I think I was going to ask, does it disintegrate at all?
No, it did not. It was just, it's just sitting in that bottle, and damn if you don't want to drink it, because it's, you can. There's nothing.
Right.
And I guess if you get to the point where you want to challenge your buddy, you break that bottle, and you can eat it.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Scorpions, so tarantulas, what was the other one they used to put in? Like it was to prove.
The worm?
Well, and they said it was to prove the purity, and I'm like, well.
It's dead.
How does dropping something that's going to drown in a liquid prove its spirit? But whatever. That was always the thing.
Another person said, I have a juvenile Alaskan wolf skull and a complete bat skeleton. Which is pretty crazy. Guys, my cigar cutter used to be an umbilical cord cutter. Got it when the hospital I used to work at threw out a ton of old instruments, and I thought, hey, this thing looks practical. I can use it for something. So the same thing that used to cut babies' umbilical cords, he uses it to get a stogies ready.
You know, that's a smart repurposing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that might just be good at it.
And honest to God, like, that makes complete sense.
Another says, I own a brain in a jar. That's fun at parties. Another.
An oil... Brain in the jar... It's somewhat interesting, though.
It is interesting, but for some reason, I feel like since you've always kind of seen it since childhood, even if it's just in cartoons or Bill Nye, or you kind of go like, I don't know how you got it, but okay.
I own an oil painting of MacGyver.
That's just fantastic.
That's awesome.
Another, a taxidermy giraffe foot. I own antique glass eyeballs. They were used for people who lost an eye back in the day. So they're a little bit more remedial.
Sure.
As far as probably, accurateness of the... But they're painted. I guess they're...
Yeah.
They paint everything over top of the glass. A plaster cast of a stranger's flaccid penis. I have no idea whose penis this is, but I have the plaster cast of one.
All right.
And a rotary phone, says another person.
Yeah.
A rotary phone. What thing do you own that makes people ask, why do you own that? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Jess. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, I was just telling Mike, way back in the day, back when you guys had the rock girls and stuff, a friend of mine was a rock girl, and she had a pet that she loved and had it taxidermied because she just couldn't bear to part with it. Later down the line, I had chickens and ducks, and my very favorite chicken passed away from oviduct cancer. I tried to save her, and I even took out a line of credit, I kid you not.
To save your chicken?
Yes.
How old was this chicken at the point that it got its diagnosis?
4 years old.
4 years old. And what was it about this chicken that you were so attached to?
I just never had chickens before, and I don't know. She was an egg layer. I didn't intend to eat her, but I ate the eggs, obviously. Okay. But
all right. Well, what was the pet your friend had stuffed?
A rabbit. I don't know if you guys. Well, I don't know if I can say her name, or I don't know if it's okay to say that. But she was a rock girl, and she had a pet rabbit that she loved dearly, and she had it taxidermied, and that's what inspired me.
Do you still have your chicken cordon bleu, so to speak? I mean, do you still have your stuffed chicken?
Oh, yeah, she's sitting right next... Well, I mean, she's taxidermied sitting right next to me right now. Yeah,
okay. Let me ask you this. Does it honestly help you, the idea of parting with your pet, right? Because either way, the pet's not coming back, but I understand physically it's next to you. Did that help your grieving process over your chicken?
Well, at the time it did. I mean, this is like 12 years ago, but she's just like kind of a, I guess, like more of a conversation piece. And don't know. Like,
well, you know what, man? Guys who can do that stuff. I've seen pheasants. I've seen quail done. Some pedigree birds that have been taxidermed before. And as far as it not looking absolutely butchered.
Right.
Typically, birds kind of still maintain their integrity as far as how they look when they were alive, once they've been
she
struck.
Looks exactly like she did when she was alive, other than the eyeballs, though, like,
the beak is one of the last prominent things that still is original, so to speak, that you can keep during that process.
Now,
the talons.
Have you considered any other pets since then? Have you considered having them taxidermied when they go to the other side?
Well, I actually did have their birds, their chickens and ducks, and they, ran their, they don't live very long, really. So we did end up, my ex-husband and I ended up burying those, but my first chicken is the one that's taxidermied, and right now I have 4 healthy cats that, way down the line, when that day comes, I'd probably just have them cremated.
I would never.
Really? What's different about the cats versus the chicken? Or is it just that you did the chicken, you know what the process is, and you're okay not to do it?
Yeah, I don't want to see my cats looking as creepy as with the eyeballs.
If I walked to my house and Dr. Gomez was stiff and sitting up on the counter or whatever, I would absolutely lose it.
I don't know what it is. Because cats, when you taxidermy stuff, like, look, at the time that you shot said bear, it did not look the way you're going to have it taxidermied, right? Your dog, you're going to have your dog look as happy. Like, my cat, I know my cat loves me, but the cat always looks like it wants to murder me. There's no way to stuff a cat and make it not look creepy.
What thing do you own that makes people ask, why do you own that? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Amy. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So back in the day, 80s, 90s, with The Rock, you guys used to have the black laser blazers go to all of the events and everything. We own one. Still runs. Still tabbed every year.
Now, what is that? I that was before our time.
That was for us.
They would have these black blazers that had little lasers along the side of them.
All right.
That they would go drive to all the events, and my uncle bought one for my cousin and I. So
can you do us a favor? Can you send us a picture of that? I'm curious to see what that looks like.
Next time I head up to Magnolia to my uncle's house, I would love to. Can still kind of see a little bit of the laser blazer emblem going along the bottom. It is a little rusty, but yes. The only time it actually gets moved is when we pull the boat out of the garage, and then it gets moved back.
Unfortunately, you know, the radio station's well over 50 years old at this point in time, but there were a lot of cool things that we got on our 58th anniversary that either like Taryn or Hair Club picked up on eBay, or they found at thrift stores. It actually used to pretty well just be a museum in Hair Club's office for a while this was going on, just taking all these pictures of all these things. But the one thing I kept asking him about, I was like, when the radio station back in the day before everything got digital and you had a turning dial, it was easier. You didn't do points. So you didn't say 99.9. You said it's 100 on your dial, and we were FM 100. And there used to be, KISW had a mascot that was a duck.
Correct.
And all I wanted to do was like, okay, where is the duck?
Mm-hmm.
Who's got the duck? Where is the duck? Where's the duck head? Where's the duck thing? I want to see the duck. And he's like, well, you don't know where the duck is.
That's like the one thing he couldn't track down, because he found a lot of stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, like, as far as just, you know, Seafair stuff, whether it was, you know, the onesies that Miss Rock, that the pit crew would wear, and cool stuff like
that. Right, driving suits.
Yeah, all that stuff, you know, we had like one of them. But the thing was that people loved was the duck.
The duck.
I don't know why KISW was associated with a duck. Who cares?
Whoever that duck guy was, I bet he's got it.
You think he's got it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When you keep, if you're a mascot for anything, and they don't ask for it back, I think you keep it.
Especially if you played like Ronald McDonald.
Ronald McDonald, Chuck E. Cheese.
Anything.
I mean, if the Seattle Mariners got rid of the moose, I would think the moose gets to keep the costume.
You think?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean if they got rid of the moose, like you're no longer the mascot? I don't know,
Where's
man.
Squatch? Did Squatch go to Portland? He went to Portland, didn't he?
No.
Well, I'm saying, but like that costume's not on display down in Oklahoma City. I bet Squatch still has the Squatch costume.
I hope he does, man. You earn that.
What thing do you own that makes people ask, why do you own that? 206-803-ROCK.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.